Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ala, a teacher at LSAT Demon, which you can find at lsatdemon.com. I'm joined by one of my most badass students ever, Isla, who absolutely crushed the April LSAT. So we wanted to chat a little bit about how that happened. Let's rewind a little bit. Take it back to maybe sort of where you started, what was your diagnostic, and maybe the first little while of your study.
Hey everyone, I'm super glad to be here. I'd love to share a little bit about my story. So I started out, I took my first practice test in August and I scored a 148. From there, I did kind of have like a goal in mind. So I spent some time making a study schedule and I started early enough, I think, to where I was able to give myself a lot of time. And I knew I was going to be have to managing school at the same time. So I started off self-studying. I read a lot of various LSAT books where I learned different strategies. I learned kind of what worked for me, what didn't. I started out by drilling sections. And then I took my first practice test full length in January. And then I took my first official test in February and I scored a 165.
Gotcha. One of the things that we hear a lot from students about the LSAT in general is like motivation or like staying consistent. And you mentioned that you did a lot of self-studying. What was that like for you? Like just doing self-study in general. And what do you feel like was good about it? And what did you feel like you maybe didn't like about it or maybe you would do differently?
I think what I liked about it was I was able to kind of set my own schedule and, you know, work harder on sections that I felt like I needed more improvement on. So I understood the games pretty quickly. That was my best section when I first started studying. What I would do differently was I did join the LSAT Demon after my second test, and I really loved the live classes part of it. I think just that like interaction with other students and people who had already taken the LSAT was really helpful. I didn't even know anyone who had taken the LSAT. I didn't really have any like study partners. So I think that was something that I was really missing. I feel like it is super helpful, especially for like logic reasoning, for to just like talk about, you know, why you think this was right, why you got it wrong. And I do struggle with reviewing. I get super like frustrated at myself and I find myself, you know, telling myself, oh, like, I get that. That's, you know, common sense. So I think when you have someone there with you to talk about it, it's a lot more manageable.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's very good for me to hear when a student is committed to the process as, you know, even in terms of when I work with private tutoring students, one of the things I always tell them is, hey, I love our time together. I love working with you. And I loved having Isla in classes, but it's really about what happens afterwards. It's about what you can do with the fact that you're learning things from me or learning things from another teacher at the Demon. What can you do with that information? How can you take that and go into your own studying and apply those things? Because something you learn from me could take 2 minutes, but it takes you 2 weeks to actually understand how it fits together in your own sections.
Yeah. And I think I made my schedule so that, you know, I was made sure I was getting enough sleep. I was eating the right things. I think that's also super important and kind of people forget that. Like your lifestyle during the LSAT is so important for you to like maximize your score. And, you know, keeping in mind, I feel like we hear this a lot. It's a learnable test. Like I just feel like something in me like knew I could do it. And that was just really motivating for me.
Did you always believe that it was a learnable test or did that like click in for you later? Because I think that's one of the biggest things we try to like encourage our students to truly believe, but believing something is different from just, you know, hearing about it.
Yeah. So I heard that always. And then like, I think I started believing it when I was seeing improvement, you know, when I got my first perfect game or, you know, hit my target on a reading passage. And, you know, just seeing that improvement was really encouraging. And that's kind of what helped me keep going.
That's really good to hear. I think that part of study journeys is often not emphasized as much because it feels like, oh, it all like turned out a certain way at the end. So it's all good. But I think reminding ourselves that we did go through the whole process of ups and downs, and the thing that really held it together, or maybe a couple of things that held it together, were things like being able to learn the test. So you talked about like doing self-study up until like January, and then being able to motivate yourself through that work. What changed for you after January? Like, what was it like in the second half, and how do you feel like the demon was supportive for you? And were there any sort of like places where you felt stuck, and then you were like, oh, this is starting to move over?
Yeah. So after I scored my 165 on the official test, I kind of saw that, like, you know, I could do this test, and I felt really motivated to do even better. And so I had heard about the LSAT demon, and I decided to give it a try. So I signed up for 1 month, and in that month, I did a bunch of different live classes. I did like the drilling feature, and I was looking to most improve my reading comp because that was a section that I really struggled with. I've always been kind of just too fast of a reader, and so it was really hard for me to unlearn what I had, you know, been using in school and stuff, and kind of learn to read the LSAT way. And what helped for me the most in reading comp was translating. That is something I feel like a lot of the LSAT tutors, the LSAT demon tutors, teach in their classes. And so just, you know, even if it takes 30 minutes or an hour to read one passage, being able to understand it fully in your own words was so helpful for me. I tried a bunch of different things. I tried like taking notes while I read the passages. I tried like reading the passage twice. I tried, you know, highlighting, underlining, but ultimately taking that passage and translating it into something that I would understand was the most beneficial.
That's awesome. About like all four of the things that you just like listed off as examples for things that you tried. Chris and I recently covered in our RC Mythbusters pod. So if anyone has any questions about the strategies that Isla's talking about, you can hear my and Chris's opinions about those things like highlighting and stuff. But that's really good to hear. What do you feel like maybe from just how you were feeling through the section? Cause, and this is something that I feel like we should talk more about, which is that students don't always think about how different RC can feel once they commit to translating, once they commit to really understanding. Tell me a little bit about like what changed for you, because it was your worst section. It was a section you probably didn't like very much as a result of it, right? So what like changed for you in terms of how you felt doing a section from how you were doing it before to adding in like the tools that I talk about, or Chris talks about like true comprehension?
So when I first started doing the translating thing, it was taking so much brain power to like decipher, you know, these long sentences and words I didn't even understand. And so just seeing how much easier it got to translate it was really helpful for me. And just like feeling more confident in the questions. I feel like before I started translating, I would have, you know, I would read a question and I would like go back into the passage and have to find it. But after translating, it felt like I would read a question and I would know, I wouldn't have to go back to the passage. I would know what they were talking about. Sometimes even if it was like a line reference, I would like have remembered it off the top of my head because I translated it into my own words. And it's funny because on my April test, I did have two reading sections. So it was, it felt like my practice paid off.
Oh, the dreaded double RC. That's really funny. I think I did too I think I had double RC. I took the LSAT 5 times. I think I had double RC in 3 of my 5 tests, if not maybe 4. I can't remember. I think it was 3, but that's great. Like that didn't throw you off, clearly, because you crushed it. And, you know, we talked a little bit about RC. What do you think outside the test? You know, you mentioned about like your habits that helped you. What do you think about stuff outside the test that that were really critical? We try to cover this in Plateau Pulverizer, you know, a lot, where like we talk about strategies and things to think about, everything from like perfectionism to the kind of people that are encouraging you or discouraging you, right? Like, what would you say outside the LSAT had an impact, positive or negative, on the test, and how did you maybe like pull that into perspective and still still persevere?
Yeah, so positively, I feel like I studied very, I guess, intuitively is the word. I didn't have like a super strict target time. I have to study two hours every day. It was more so like I would just do my best on each day, and sometimes my best was a rest day, and sometimes it was, 5 hours. So it just depends, and I think that was so helpful, not like beating yourself up over not reaching a certain amount of hours to study for a day, or not beating yourself up over a target score that you were trying to hit is, every day is success. I think that's the best way to look at it. As far as negatively goes, a week before my April test, I did go through kind of like a significant life change. And it was the week leading up to the test, I was talking with Allah a lot. I was having, doubts about if I should even take it. And there were kind of two things that we agreed on. And it was one was postponing the test, and then the other one was kind of just doing it anyways and seeing what happens. So I decided to go with that one because I figured I might as well. And I ended up scoring a 171, which was great. I think 2 days before the official test, I took a practice test and I scored a 174. And that kind of just really motivated me to jump at it. And I think, for anyone who does go through something big right before a test, I think you never know how it's going to affect your mindset, how it's going to impact you on the actual day. You can think that it might impact you negatively, and then it might end up impact you positively and thinking that, you're going to take that and you're going to use it to fuel you and do better. And that's kind of what happened with me, I think.
That's awesome, Isla. I mean, that's why I called Isla a badass student at the top of the episode, is because we did have that conversation, and it was I mean, it's a difficult thing for anybody to go through, and that conversation really reminded me that like the LSAT is a thing you're trying to do through life, but life doesn't stop on the other side, right? Like that's something that happened to me multiple times. Really difficult things have happened in the background of my LSAT studying. And it was about staying as consistent as I could. And I love that you said that my best today could be a rest day, right? Incorporating things like that and just acknowledging that, like, I want to do this well. That means taking my time if I need to. So that's certainly in our first conversation. You know, I was reminding Isla that like it's okay to postpone it. We don't want you going in with any sort of mindset that could impact you and like make you do poorly. But Isla was also PTing in that range where like you'd clearly crush the test. Like you clearly were declaring victory over the test, as we like to say it, right? You had done that, but there were other things going on, and we had to have a serious conversation about whether that meant postponement. Or on the other hand, when you came and told me that you got a 174 on a practice test, I was like, you know what? I think, as you already mentioned, I think this is like fueling the situation where you feel like I can do this, you know? That's because you prioritized understanding, you prioritized comprehension, you prioritized yourself in the process, right? And all of this sort of, you made the best call. And clearly, like, doing the consistent things, doing the things that are best for you, ultimately paid off.
Exactly. And I think, life does not get put on hold while you're studying for the LSAT. And I think in the end, it actually really turned out great, because even when I'm in law school and stuff, and have a working as an attorney, life is going to keep happening. Gonna have to deal with both at the same time.
Right, exactly. And that's why, like, avoiding the test is a bad thing, but avoiding life is also a bad thing in a different way. And we can't wait for perfect circumstances. We have to go for whatever, you know, the best of what we can assemble. And that sometimes just comes down to being able to be an adult, right? Because you were an adult in that situation. You behaved in a way that was best for you. You weighed the pros and cons and you took your best shot at it. And you persevered by relying on those strategies that were already working for you, right? It's not like you learned how to take the LSAT in that last week, or that something so fundamental changed in that last week that that's why you got the score. You got the score because of what you did in the last 9 months with this test. And it led you to being able to grasp the test as a as a friend rather than as something that was going to like attack you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
What was the April administration like for you, like on the day of, and like what it felt like to go through the actual test? And then lots of students like to talk about how they, you know, felt right afterwards, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
So I'm someone who worries a lot. So I was very worried about like the whole proctoring situation, you know, so much can go wrong that I was just like stressing out on top of, you know, stressing out already about the test. But thankfully I didn't have any proctor issues. It went well. I had two reading sections, which did throw me off a little bit, because I was like, okay, I gotta really, you know, focus here and use a lot of brain power. But yeah, I after the test, it was kind of one of those things where you have no idea how you did. For me, it was like I could not at all estimate if it was good or bad. I just knew that I was done with it for the time being. So that felt great. And then the 2 weeks after, I just was waiting for my score, but also trying to keep my mind off of it and know that, you know, whatever happened, happened, and I already took it. So couldn't change anything about it. And then when I got my score, was definitely happy with it. I am thinking about maybe retaking it again in the August administration or September, just because I feel like, you know, I want to stay greedy, as Allah says. And I feel like I know if I was able to score that at a time where I wasn't, you know, feeling like myself, I feel like I want to see what would happen if I give it that final push.
I think good things are going to happen. And I absolutely want you to stay greedy. And I think you totally have it in you to do that. I really appreciate you sharing your story today. I myself am like personally inspired by you because of like how you took on the situation and you made the best out of it. And you will be in my hall of fame for one of my most badass students forever.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So thanks everyone for listening today. If you email daily at LSATdemon.com, you can ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you again, Isla, for being here.
Thank you.